Okay, Book of Joshua. Since you're so talented, I want you to do something. Would you manage to get a hold of the music to that song and have it to John? Yeah, would you see if you can find it? And if you find it, make copies of it so that we can sing it. Would you turn the air conditioning on? Joshua chapter 1, verse 1.
I was pretty comfortable myself, Barb.
It'll just take a humidity
out. But it won't do anything for the stupidity. All right. The book of Joshua.
That's a humility.
Stupidity. The book of Joshua is the first book, or it's the description of that which occurs when you have entered the promise. It's a description of you apprehending the fullness of the promise of God. And it's a book of battles again. Now, the first battle that happens, remember, Israel as a nation is only the architect's model. And they were here, scattered all over Egypt, and they got to be the best land of Egypt and the land of Goshen, and then they escaped, and then they finally, after 40 years, they're going to cross now. They're right here. They're right near Gilgal, and they're about to cross, they're right near Shittim, and they're going to cross over, and they have to confront Jericho before they can reach Jerusalem. Jericho always is in the way of reaching Jerusalem. So to consider it in the spirit, the type, you have been walking in the wilderness with only a hope. On the feast of Rosh Hashanah, the walls of Jericho fall, and so you can enter the land. Now, that is each of your positions. I mean, it's what we're studying right now, but it's really where you are in the spirit also. But you've only really been concerned with the things of God in a hope format. Every once in a while you've gotten a little taste, but mostly it's, well, I hope this is right, or I hope this is true, or I hope Oli's not deceiving me, or, you know, that kind of stuff. The Feast of Rosh Hashanah is the celebration of the apprehension of it. Remember, for those of you, when we had the first fruit offering meeting, I told you that the thing that was read at that time, it says, those of you who have had an inheritance, you knew you had an inheritance somewhere. Now in this meeting, it was like a meeting with the attorney. When you left that room, you can possess the inheritance and dwell in the inheritance. Well, this is another affirmation of that promise. You must know by now that it's only that there has never been a circumstance in your life that got you in trouble. It's only the judgments you make about the circumstances that have gotten you in trouble. And so the celebration of the Feast of Rosh Hashanah is really, in that context, the celebration of the destruction of the wrong judgments, or the celebration of the destruction of the judgments, period. Because it's the walls of Jericho falling down. Now, to give you a hint, the meaning of that spiritually is that the wall represents the hymen, The Spirit birthed Christ in Mary as a virgin birth. And so the hymen had to be destroyed from the inside out. And that's the same thing that happens in you. The wall of separation, the hymen, that's keeping that which is truly the explosion of the Shekinah glory of God being manifested, has still been locked up in you in the walls of Jericho. On the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, it breaks through the walls so that it's openly manifest and you know it. And that's the meaning of the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. Okay?
Even a baby
Now, the book of Joshua, the word Joshua is the Hebrew word Yeshua, which means Jesus. The word Joshua and the word Jesus are the same word. Up till now, Israel only knew about law, about Moses and the law. They've been confronted with the law for 39 years, and they've been encamped here at Kadesh Barnea, which means sanctuary in the wilderness. Well, now, when Moses dies, the law dies with him, and the promise in the person of Jesus manifests itself. Now, this is true in you, too. You have tried to find out what you should do, whether it's about sex or about anything else. Your response to the situation is, well, what shall this man do? So your response to every stimulus up till now has been law, has been Moses. Now, once you step into the promise, that question will become so foreign to you, you will forget you even knew how to ask it. The idea of doing something, or the concern for the doing of anything, or the concern with how you should respond to a particular stimulus, will be as foreign to you as it would be to give a squirrel directions to crack open nuts. You understand? The need that you have to know what to do about a stimulus is the evidence that you are still under Moses. You got it? You really got it.
Yeah.
So the book of Joshua is the book that defines a new way of living that you've never lived before. Except that you did it for a brief time when you were a child, before you had self-awareness. The book of Joshua defines abandoned living. Okay? Let's see if we can read some stuff. Everybody understand this? The wilderness is no more. Right now, at this instant, we're camped at Shittim. Huh? What's the name of the place? Shittim.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. Hey, Wendell, it's a real word.
Well, I mean, it's a very descriptive word. It's not a nice place. The reason you've been encamped at Shittim, because Shittim is the word is the word that defines the predominant growth in that area, the acacia wood. And the acacia is the stupid little bush-like plants that have these terrible thorns on them, about that long. And there, the acacia is what, or the Shittim wood, is what the crown of thorns was made of when Christ was crucified. Now we're going to cross over the Jordan, and the walls of Jericho are going to fall down at about 100 yards from the place where Jesus endured the 40 days of temptation. And where, in fact, I'll put it differently. When the walls of Jericho fell, there was only one person that ever tried to rebuild in that exact spot, and that was Ahab. And it was cursed. Anyone who tried to rebuild the walls of Jericho, there was a curse, and we'll study that. And so somebody tried to build the walls of Jericho, and they got a bad curse. They got a case of bad curses. And so then, from then on, the city that was called Jericho was moved several hundred yards, or more, really several miles, from where the original city of Jericho is. So the city of Jericho that was there at the time of Christ, and the city of Jericho that's there now, are not in the place of the city of Jericho that fell. And I can't prove it, but I would bet $100 billion that the place of the temptation of Christ was the exact arena where the old Jericho was, as we'll see in a minute. Jericho is the oldest city in Israel. It is one of the oldest cities in the world. And even by any kind of archaeological definitions. Things have been carbon dated back to the 8th millennium B.C. Wow. It's the first city in this history of man, of anywhere on the face of the earth, to have walls. And it's interestingly enough, it's real. I mean, when you're there, it looks like it's on a high hill, sort of like a little mountain kind of thing. But in actuality, it's 820 feet below sea level. So it's at almost the level of the Dead Sea. And it's almost the exact condition of the Dead Sea also. Yeah, it gets better. Now, the word Jericho means walled fragrance.
Wow.
As we know in the past, the fragrance, from God's standpoint, are your thoughts. So the destruction of the city of Jericho and the walls of Jericho mean that your walled, protected thoughts are now open to the threshing floor wind, and you don't have to judge them anymore. You just speak them. Pretty soon, almost, maybe. Now, all kinds of neat things happen. In the second chapter of Joshua, the first thing that happened is Moses died. They couldn't enter the promise until Moses died. Now Moses is dead, and they're encamped at Shittim. And the first thing Joshua does is send two spies, because they have to confront this ridiculous thing, this Jericho and these huge walls, and I'll give you the dimensions in a minute. And so Joshua sends two spies to spy out Jericho. And they get caught. And a prostitute named Rahab rescues them and covers them with flax on the top of her roof while a search is being made for them. And then she lets them down out through a window in the wall by a scarlet rope or a scarlet thread. And when the walls of Jericho fell, and when the inhabitants of Jericho were destroyed, everyone was destroyed except Rahab and her household. Now legend or rabbinic authority has it that Joshua then married the whore, Rahab.
Joshua
married the whore,
Rahab.
And that's why, because it's only out of the whore can come the bride. And Joshua fulfilled that type. That's pretty neat.
That lost me.
In the world, the bride always tries to be good, tries to do it right. In the spirit, the only one that can do it right is the one that knows she's a whore, that she's has no righteousness. And then from that whore is who the bride is called from.
Scarlet thread.
It's the blood of Christ. It was Mary Magdalene, the whore, that was the first one to see Jesus. Okay. Everybody got that's a 2-second summary of Joshua. There's a whole lot more, but Chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, remember where it says Moses? Every time it says Moses in the scriptures, it means the law. Got it? Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river of Euphrates, till all All the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now this is you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He's talking to... Huh?
Yeah, I'm only going to leave the air on for a little while. Okay.
There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and be of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only thou be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Now, do you remember the strange, ridiculous way that you observe to do? So even in the Old Testament, the idea of obeying was to see. You understand? To see or hear under whatever condition you're in is the only way you can obey. To hear that this is God. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant shall command thee, or commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mightest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Dismayed and depressed is the same. You understand that? Tara's mother, or was it your mother that gave us those books? In this book called God Calling, which has really got some good stuff in it. Anyway, in that book, it says that depression is the impression left behind by fear. And that makes a lot of sense. There is to be dismayed or to be depressed is to be in to live in the aftermath of the state of fear. And the opposite of that is the certainty that he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be strong, be of good courage, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, etc., etc. Therein is there's no fear, therefore there's no dismay, therefore there's no depression. Peace. Where was I?
Joshua commanded the officers.
What verse?
Yeah.
Oh. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare thou victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then you shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave to you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. And all it means is part of the land of Israel is on this side of the Jordan. And it was given to Reuben and to Gad and to half the tribe of Manasseh.
They wanted it, right?
Yeah. They wanted it, it was already been defeated. It was a restful place for them.
But it's not a promise.
No. They're not getting the fullness of the promise because they were...
I remember one time when Matt was going to teach me, we were studying this or something, and I was reading this, and it just kind of freaked me out that they decided not to go across. Even though they had to fight, and there was like some big discussion about, you know, well, you don't, you know, how dare you sit here and rest while your brothers are going to go in there and fight, and it said there was a part that it was really wild about, I don't know where it is even, that if they just waited, the Lord would defeat their enemies as long as they presented themselves
right.
to the fight. And as long as they presented themselves to go over with their brethren,
that was all that was needed.
Yeah, it was a dumb thing for them to do, fundamentally.
Yeah.
Okay. And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us. Send us to us. That's it. Sendest us.
Where do you send us?
Sendest us. What's she doing? Behind the Bible?
It sounds like a Protestant wrangling weapon.
Yeah.
Send us stuff. Sitting there drinking my coffee. I always leave this kind of stuff in.
Sendest us. We will go. What? According as we hearken unto Moses and all the things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and be of good courage. And Joshua, son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho."
Not spy openly, I mean, that would be...
Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house. They'd been in the desert for 40 years.
This looks like a house of worship. But yeah, we're supposed to be here.
Sure.
Spies.
Take a break.
Sure, we'll go spy out.
Take a break.
They say we're going, hey, well, he said
this looks like a holy land.
Yeah. Hey, son of nut.
Pardon me, let me in.
I think I could sit comfortably in here.
Chapter 2, verse 1, Joshua. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab. Now, who is the king of Jericho?
Me.
Hmm? And who are you? Well, I wouldn't go far to say that. How about the Antichrist?
Who are you?
Me.
Son of perdition.
And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." It came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I would not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. See, that's why Daryl's my favorite. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fjords.
That's only from a Norwegian rabbi.
Can we please keep that on the paper?
Well, that'll be there all year. Yeah.
And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fjords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men assured her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, what means
we won't lie.
Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. I mean, here, just like Passover. And it's a type, I mean, that's, we are now in this scenario, and from another aspect of the metaphor, we are in the house of the harlot in the world. Everything else is going to be destroyed. There's a scarlet band. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear to swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint before us. Now, I want you all to read independently Joshua 3, 4, 5, and then we're going to start reading 6 right now. I'd read this before Saturday. 3, 4, 5. I mean, before Sunday. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord sent it to, I mean, they were safe. Huh? They're not surrounded yet. They're safe. They know what's coming, but they're safe. Because nothing can break these walls down. The walls are 6.5 feet thick and 20 foot high. And there are 30-foot high towers throughout. And with the weapons of war at that time, nothing could get.
It's 2 stories. Size
of this house. Yeah. And Jericho was straitly shut up. Now, but again, the type we're talking about, this is your mind. It's straitly shut up. There's been some spies going in and out, but fundamentally, you've been a walled city. Okay? And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall surround the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it came to pass that when they made a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did six days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. Now, what we will do on Saturday is read Psalm 47 seven times, because it's the one, and the seventh day of this is Rosh Hashanah. Okay? And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take the accursed thing and make the camp of the Israel a curse and trouble it. But now, what is the accursed thing? Well, it's also some other things which we'll... I want you to also read chapter 7. It'll scare the shit out of you, but we're just going to read through chapter 6 tonight. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out of all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Now that was, we'll read about it Sunday, how that curse was fulfilled in Ahab. And then it's not been built again. Now, some stuff. As I said, it's the oldest town in the land of Israel. The Hebrew meaning of it is the walled fragrance or the hidden thoughts. It was 4.5 miles west of the Jordan on the road leading to Jerusalem. They had to go by it in order to get to Jerusalem, or go through it. 820 feet below sea level. It was built in the 8th millennium B.C. It's the earliest walled city in the history of man. The wall was 6.5 feet thick, 20 feet high, with stone towers of 30 feet high and 28 feet in diameter. Now, this is one of the fascinating things that the archaeologists have discovered. They discovered human skulls coated with a limey clay with features molded into very realistic human portraits. So what they did with the dead was overlay them with a clay substance with the finest artisans to make the features as beautiful as they desired. Well, that's what you've done. Only Rahab the harlot and all of her household was saved. Now, in Deuteronomy 34, it's called the Grove City. Everything in the city and the walls geologically were built on unconsolidated sedimentary deposits that took place and were deposited there when, remember I've told you before how the Dead Sea used to be the greatest area of beauty, as beauty rivaled even the Garden of Eden, and then when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, it dammed it up. Well, at that time, Jericho was covered with the deposits coming out of the tree of life, I mean the river of life and the spirit, you understand? So they built the city on the foundation of deposits or the waste materials of the river of life. And of course, at the moment of more than likely what happened is there was an earthquake. I mean, there's been many earthquakes in that escarpment. But spiritually, I promise you that every one of your value systems which cause you to internalize your thoughts are built on a value system of the death products of the river of life. There is nothing that you hold valuable. There is nothing that you hold dear. There is nothing that you highly esteem that is not an abomination to God. Period. And the only reason that you can maintain the walls is because the thing hasn't happened to shake that sediment yet in your earth. Once you know that it's gone, then you're free. Then you can let the river of life run freely through you again. Amen? So, the idea is, and this is all through Romans and the New Testament, is put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision to fulfill the desires of your flesh, and then the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Something that the world hasn't known about for many thousands of years. The idea that it's possible to live without making provisions for the desires of your flesh. But now it is at the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, because now you put on Christ. His birth in you becomes manifest. Now it's Torah made flesh. Okay? Take it, big guy.